Last week we started Hilchos Mila. We don't have that much more to cover, so we'll probably finish the whole topic today. So last week we mentioned that there's a din of Mila Bismana and Mila Shalai Bismana. Mila Bismana is Bishmini. And Mila Shalai Bismana is if the baby was not well and you have to postpone the bris. Then it's a Mila Shalai Bismana. The din is that a Mila Shalai Bismana is not Decha Shabbos and it's not Decha Yontif. Only a Mila Bismana. What about a Mila Shalai Bismana on Yontif Sheni Shal Golias? Yontif Sheni Shal Golias is a big machlokes in the Rishonim, whether it's a din de Rabbanan or it's a minik. Because the Lashon HaGemara in the beginning of Beitza is when during the lifetime of Abai V'Rava lived in Bavel. So their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael had smicha. In Bavel, you can't confer smicha. You can't get smicha in Bavel. So their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael were the ones who used to do Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Hariyah every month and declare which year should be a Shana Mu'uberes and which should not. And then it was during the lifetime of Abai V'Rava that the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael decided to make the Luach Kavua. So then the Shaila was asked, so there's no longer a Sveika Diyoma. We know 1,000 years in advance when every Yontav, which day of the week every Yontav is going to fall out. Is there still a need to observe Yontav Hashem and Shalgoli? So Sholchem Itam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Either they sent a letter or they sent a message orally, whatever it was. Sholchem Itam, Yizor b'minig avasecha miyadechem. We should still continue the practice of our ancestors to observe Yontav Hashem and Shalgolias. So half of the Rishonim say the Gemara uses a lashon minig. So you see that Yontav Sheni Bismana is only a minig. And nonetheless, you say a bracha, Asher Kiddushonim B'mitzvah Sivitzivano, Al Achilas Matzah, Al Achilas Marer. You say a bracha, Kiddushonim B'mitzvah Sivitzivano. So Tosfos proves from this that you can say a bracha on a minig. Reciting Chatzi Ha'olam Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tainis, is only a minhag. So the Ashkenazim say a bracha, Akusha Kiddushonim B'mitzvah Sivitzivano, Likros Ha'olam, even though it's only a minig. Same thing, Hadlokas Haneris, Haner of Yom Kippur is only a minig. So the Ramos says that Ashkenazim follow the Tosfos, that you say Brocha on a minig also. And the Sfaradim follow the Ramam, that you don't say a Brocha on a minig. I, what's Yontav Sheni Shel Golias? No. The message that they sent, either the letter or the message that they sent orally, Yizor b'minig avasech midechem, doesn't mean that it's a minig. You should follow the practice of your ancestors. We are making a takana now, that everyone should still continue to observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. That's the nusach of the message, the letter of the message that they send. It doesn't mean a minig, what we call a minig, a custom. A minig, the practice. Follow the practice of your ancestors because we're making a takana, you should observe Yontav Sheni. So that's a big machlokes. How serious is Yontav Sheni? If a person violates Yontav Sheni, it says in Hilchos Yontav that you put him in cherem. So that's a question. Is that because he violated a din de Rabbanan? Because even one who violates a minig atzibur, is also deserves to be put in the chair. So that's a question. So the Netziv suggests, I think in his Chidushim in the Meroi Meisodeh, he has the shiurim that he gave in Valojin. Valojin, they learned straight from Brachas to Nida, then they went back again to Brachas. They learned all the Masichtas. They didn't have only that was Slabotke. They only had the 7 Masichtas, Bava Kama, Bava Mitzvah, Bava Vasra, and the 4 Masichtas in Noshim, Yibamas and Ksubas, Gittin and Kedushin. They only gave Shurim on the 7 Masichtas. And the other Masichtas, the Tamidim learned on their own. And in Valojin, they gave Shurim on everything. So the Netziv has in his Shurim a suggestion that that this question, whether Mila Shalai Bismana is Dechi Yantab Sheni Shal Golias, maybe that's the question, because Mila Shalai Bismana, you're not supposed to postpone it another day and another day and another day. You're supposed to do Mila Shalai Bismana as soon as possible. You don't want the child to be an oral. So if Yantab Sheni Shal Golias is a real din de Rabbanan, so called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, I said Tikkun. So just like Yantab Rishon, you're only allowed to do a bris if the Mila Bismana. Yantav Sheni should also, Mila Shal Bismana should not be allowed. But if you hold Yantav Sheni Shal Golias is only a minig, so because of a minig, therefore you're going to say that you should postpone the Mila Shal Bismana another day. That's what he suggests. Yeah, such a suggestion on a machlek is also on Yantav Sheni, whether you're allowed to do chafifa, a woman has to go to mikveh. So he says, also, maybe it depends on that shaila. Yeah. This is clear. It's not right to postpone a milu shaloi bismano further. The Nadi Bihuda has usually tshuvas that are a page or two long. It doesn't have one tshuva, it's only one paragraph. They always had the practice that on Erev Pesach, which is supposed to be Tainus Bechoris, and nobody ever fasted. How come for many centuries already? Nadi Bihuda lived in the 1700s. So how come they didn't fast? So there was always a bris. In New York City, there's always a bris. They have millions of people here. Of course, there's going to be a bris. Every day of the year, there's going to be at least one bris. There's not going to be at least 100 brisen. But how can you be secure? First, in Nadi Bihuda was a rabbi in a little village before he became the rabbi in Prague in the big city. So in the little village, how are you secure that there's always going to be a bris on Erev Pesach? So the practice used to be whenever there would be a bris that they had to postpone within a month or two before Pesach, they would postpone it till Erev Pesach. You're postponing anyway. It's not going to be a milu bizmana anyway. But they would postpone it till Erev Pesach. So if you attend the bris on Erev Pesach, it's a suddas mitzvah, so you don't have to fast. So the Nadi Bihuda has a very short tshuva where he has two tainus against that practice. He says, number one, he's not so convinced that it's considered enough of a suddas mitzvah, even if it's a milu shaloi bizmana, that the firstborn should, b'chayrim, should be allowed to eat. Maybe it's only a suddas mitzvah to allow them to eat when it's a milu bizmana. Milu shaloi bizmana is also a suddas mitzvah to have a suda. Maybe it's not enough of a suddas mitzvah to permit everybody to eat. Yeah. Yeah. How do you know that it's a suddas mitzvah b'chlal? How do you know that? So the Gemara in Perek HaBlez of the Mila quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, so the Gemara says David HaMelech was referring to the bris milah. Then when David HaMelech, he always walked around with tzitzis and with mitzvahs, with tefillin, probably all day. His mana Gemara, that was a practice that wore tefillin kol hayom. So when he went to the Beis HaMerchatz, he was arum min ha-mitzvahs. He was arum, he was undressed. He didn't have any mitzvahs. So he felt bad. He doesn't have a mitzvah. Then he realized, no, he has the bris milah with him all the time. So since the pasuk speaks about rejoicing, so since it's an inyan of fulfilling the mitzvah of milah is considered supposed to be done with simcha, saying simcha lebavasu v'yayin. That's why you're supposed to have a suda. That's why it's not really right. The Magen Avraham quotes a discussion from the Shaloh. Shaloh was in the 1500s. Magen Avraham was later. So the Magen Avraham quotes a discussion. The Shaloh had two rabbeim. So whenever there would be a bris on Friday morning and they would serve fleshik, so one of the rabbeim would attend the suda, the other rabbi wouldn't attend the suda. And they all say more correct is to have a fleshik suda, because the whole idea of having a suda by bris is because the bris is supposed to be fulfilled with simcha. That's how the Gemara says on the first daf and Rav Lezer, the Mila daf kuf lamed amud aleph, kol mitzvah shekibla aleihem yisrael b'simcha, adai mikayim masa b'simcha. That originally, sasa enoch alim asecha, Avraham Avinu fulfilled the mitzvah bris mila with great simcha, so we still make a party. Every time we have a bris mila, we make a suda. And in Arayis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it Maimon HaSina, the dinim of Gili Arayis, that was a mitzvah shelo kibla aleihem asimcha, because the pasuk says in Chumash Bamidbar, Moshe Rabbeinu heard all the people were boichal mishpacha yisav. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, what does it mean boichal mishpacha yisav? They were crying aliske arayis, that before Maimon HaSinai, they had only a short list of forbidden relatives that they're not allowed to marry. The dinim of Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach also have a din. One of the Shevet mitzvahs Bnei Noach is gilei arayis, but the list of prohibited marriages is much shorter. And then after they were given the Torah HaSinai, so they were belly aching, they were crying. So because when it comes to inyanim of marriage, they were not so happy. So therefore, the olam, there's always some kind of machlekes. Whenever there's a wedding, the Gemara says there's always some kind like ksuba de la rami betigra. Every time you get married and you fill out a ksuba, there's always going to be some kind of a fight or another between the mechutanim. There's always going to be some kind of a disagreement because lechatchila, when the mitzvah of arayis was given, the mitzvah of arayis, a marriage, they were boichal mishpachas, so they were belly aching about it. So because the Gemara says about yantiv, ein simcha, the Gemara says, bizman shabiz ha-mikdush kayim, ein simcha ela b'bsar shlomim. eat karbonis. And Bisman Shay Beis Hamigdash comes, so it's not Psar Shalomim, so the Gemara says, and Simcha El Biyayin. So then Mishnah Brura in the last page in Chelek Hei talks about Simchas Yontif. So he quotes a machlokes achreinim. Bisman Shein Beis Hamigdash came and Simcha Ela Biyayin means the basar is not enough because it's not Bisar Shlomim. So you have to have basar v'yayin, or you don't even need basar. You don't even need the basar. It can be milchiks as long as you have yayin. So the common practice is that we're makbit to have basar v'yayin on Yontif. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks that the Rav HaPoskim, the way he makes a calculation, he thinks that the Rav HaPoskim think that Bisman Hazeh, you don't need the basar at all, because if it's not Bisar Shlomim, you don't gain anything. But the main thing is that it should be yayin. But we usually were machmer for that Bisman Hazeh need basar v'yayin. So that's why really by the Maram Shik has a tshuva that a wedding, the suda by wedding is a suda shlo simcha, because nisuin is an inyan of simcha. There's a din, ein osim noshim b'moid, you're not allowed to get married in a chalamoid, is an isa deraisa, because ein marvin simcha b'simcha. Getting married is an inyan of simcha, even if you don't have a suda. Erisin is only an inyan of simcha if you make a suda. And nisuin is an inyan of simcha even if you don't make a suda. But there's a chiyuv to have a suda to enhance the simcha. So that's why the Maram Shik has a tshuva that it's not proper to have a milchig wedding or a milchig sheva brachas. You should really have basar v'yayin. And even those who are mekel that you don't need, let's say the basar, a lot of people make a milchig sheva brachas. There was one boy from the Kailotaka had a milchig wedding. He got divorced a couple years later. So we didn't understand how come he's having a milchig wedding. So we kept on pushing him. He didn't want to tell us. So weeks after he got married, he finally leaked out the secret. He was the youth director in this shul in New Jersey, and he didn't trust the hashgacha of the rabbi on the fleshiks. And he had to have the wedding in that shul, because that's where he worked. He was the youth director there. So he decided, so I'll have a milchig wedding. On the milchiks, he trusted the hashgacha. On the fleshiks, he didn't trust. But then later on, he got divorced. The marriage didn't work out. Yeah. So let's say if you have a bris and you don't give bokerektis, you have basa v'yayin. But even if you don't have basa, you should really have yayin. Everyone should have yayin. Or when you go to a wedding, bokerektis, it shouldn't be enough just to have basa. They should go have a little, usually on every table they leave a bottle of wine. So you should have a basa v'yayin. If they don't have on the table, they have in the corner. So bokerektis, everybody should have a little bit of basa v'yayin. At a chasana, at a sheva brachas, and at a bris. So the Nadi Bihuda again, so the Nadi Bihuda writes, he's not happy with this practice for two reasons, that when they would have a Mila, there had to be Nitcha because the baby wasn't well, so they would postpone it another month or two to have it on Erev Pesach, so the Bechorim wouldn't have to fast on Tainis Bechorim. So he says, number one, he's not so convinced that that's sufficient Sudas Mitzvah to allow the Bechorim to eat. The meaning is that if you have a Mila Bizmana, and the Bechorim meat, so it's mutter. But it's a Midrash Labizman, is not so convinced. And he says, number two, he doesn't think it's right to postpone unnecessarily an extra day. So that's what we mentioned last week, the Dvar Avram had a Chiddush, that if it's a Mila Bizman, so the Gemara says in the beginning of Pesachim, Kol HaYom, Mila Ksheira Kol HaYom, but you can really do the bris half an hour before the Shkielah. So it's Rizim Magdim LaMitzvahs, they try to do it earlier in the day. So as early as you can do it, it's going to be better. They have in the books, they quote a story that one of the Rabbanim and one of the Mizrahi Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael invited up Shlomo Zalman to be the sandik by his son's bris. He said, he'll have a car to pick him up and bring him back. So he said, fine, he'll be. And then he said, oh, by the way, we're going to daven Vasikin because he wants to be Mekayim Zriz Magdim and the Mitzvahs as early as possible. He's going to daven Vasikin. Vasikin was very early. So Shlomo Zalman said, so you get yourself a different sandik. Thank you very much. He's not interested. He's not going to wake up so early just to make this guy happy to be the sandik by his bris. Yeah, but still, Ziz Magdim in the Mitzvah, you should do the bris as early as possible in a day. The Prima Gadim writes that if you wait to do the bris till after Chatzos, that's a violation of Ziz Magdim. If you have the bris at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, okay. It's Ziz Magdim, but if you're going to wait till after Chatzos, you're going to specifically schedule the bris after Chatzos, that's not right. That's a violation of Ziz Magdim. In Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, they quote the tshuva that the Aruch sent to Rashi. That's what they claim. The Aruch who lived in Rome, I don't know how they How do they know of each other? Sent the tshuva to Rashi. Rashi asked the shaila, if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when should you do the bris? So the Och sends a letter, you should do the bris right before Tkiya Shofar. Tkiya Shofar we do after Maftir, before we daven Musaf. And the reason why, because we say Schar bris, Schar, how do you say? Schar lan bris Avram Akedas Yitzchak. So the Tkiya Shofar is Zechal Akedas Yitzchak. And the bris of Shal Avram comes first. So that's why you have the bris before Tkir Shofar. So the Prima Gadim raises the question, why did Rashi ask the Shaila in the first place? When do you do the bris on a normal Thursday morning? Or when do you do the bris on a normal Shabbos Ayantav? So the minig always was you do the bris right before the end of davening, before you say Aleinu L'Shabach. We have the practice that not everybody in the shul plans to stay for the bris. We have the practice, we say Aleinu at the end of the davening, and whoever has to go to work, whoever wants to go to class goes. And then those who stay, we have the bris, and after we finish the bris, then we say Aleinu L'Shabeach, Shalol San Kigayehu Arotzim, everything about us is different. We have a bris milah, and the Umasalim do not have a bris milah. But the minig always buzz, if you have a small minion, so you wait to do the bris right before Aleinu at the end of the davening, and then after the bris is over, then you say Aleinu, and you finish the Shir Shal Yom. So why did Rashi ask the question on Rosh Hashanah? Whatever you do all year long, you do on Rosh Hashanah also, you do the bris right before Aleinu. So the Prima Gadim answers, it's a question whether the question is correct and whether the answer is correct. But this is what the Prima Gadim suggests, that the minig already was in the days of Rashi, that they didn't finish davening on Rosh Hashanah till after Chatzos. So you're going to do the bris before Aleinu, and Aleinu is after Chazaras HaShatz HaMusaf. And we say so many piyutim, it takes forever. So you're not going to get to Aleinu till after Chatzos. So that's a violation of Zriz and Magdim HaLemitzvos. That's the background. The Prima Gadim is filling in the background. He thinks that's the background of the Shaila, why Rashi had a Shaila. When is the correct slot on Rosh Hashanah to do the bris milah? You shouldn't do it the way we'd normally do, right before Aleinu, because they're not going to get to before Aleinu till after Chatzos. So the Dvar Avram, he said the Dvar Avram had this chiddush, and Dvar Avram, there are three volumes. The third volume was printed after he passed away. It was put together by one of the rabbis who taught in YU in my time, Rabbi Honest. He survived the war. He learned in Telos in Europe, and he survived the war. He was a great Goyen. He used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva for many years. But the first two volumes were published during the lifetime. The Dvar Avram is the rabbi in Kovna, and he died in the middle. He died in the Kovna ghetto when the Nazis forced everybody to be thousands, tens of thousands of people. Were in such an overcrowded ghetto, so there was disease there. So he died from sickness. In the ghetto, many people died from sickness in the ghetto before the Nazis had a chance to kill everybody. So in the first volume, I had this chiddush that the classical Shlomo Eger in the Gil Yom HaShoah on the side of the page in the Yeridei quotes from the classical poskim that if the Moel has scheduled two brisen for the same day, one is a Mila Bismana, one is a Mila Shalei Bismana, so Mekudosh Vein Mekudosh Mekudosh Kodim, we do the more important mitzvah first, then you do less important mitzvah second. So the example the Mishnah has in Perek Kol HaTodir, that's a Mishnah Periket towards the end of Zvachim, Daf Pei Tesam and Aleph. So if a kohen is standing in the Beis HaMikdash and two balabatim come simultaneously, one brings a kochi kochim korban and one brings a kochim kalim korban. So the kochi kochim has a higher level of kedusha. So if they came simultaneously, more correct is you should be makriv the kochi kochim first and then do the kochim kalim, because mekudosh vein mekudosh. The Kudosh Kodim. Then, so the Dvar Avram, so the classical poskim write, a Mila Shalei Bizmano is a mitzvah b'shalei Musa. It's Dechah Shabbos. Mila Shalei Bizmano is a mitzvah shalei b'shalei Musa. It's not Dechah Shabbos. So if you have two brisin on the same day, so the Moel should really has a couple of days to schedule. He should schedule the Mila Bizmano first and then the Mila Shalei Bizmano second, because the Mila Bizmano is the mitzvah b'shalei Musa, so it's more Mekudosh, it's more important than the Mila Shalei Bizmano. So the Dvar Avram knows this, and he disagrees. He thinks that more correct is you should do the Mila Shalei Bizmano first. Because on the Mila Shalei Bizmano, then Rabbi Yehuda says he thinks you're not allowed to postpone. So he thinks, so the Dvar Avram thinks, not only you're not allowed to postpone to the next day, you shouldn't even postpone to 5 minutes later. I remember there was one Rebbe in the yeshiva, used to be a Rebbe in the high school, he died very young. His father was a Rebbe in Yeshiva. His father also died young. So there was a Rebbe, and his wife had a baby, and there was an issue. They couldn't do the Mila Bizmana. So sometimes the din is, if the baby's chayla kol aguf, then the Gemara says, after the doctors say he's healthy enough to have a bris, you have to wait 7 days, meisleis, 7 times 24 hours. And sometimes it ends up in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you have to wait till next Thursday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you do the bris. And sometimes there's only chayla b'mitzis min aguf, not chayla kol aguf. Then you only have to wait till the baby gets better, and then you do the bris milah. So that's a big discussion. What's considered chayla kol aguf and what's considered chayla b'mitzis min aguf? You have to have a doctor who has traditions from the Rabbanim on this. Just this morning, I was looking in the tshuvas of the rabbi from Pinsk, Baron Walkin. He has grandchildren who live in America and live in Eretz Yisrael. Big Rabbanim. So this Baron Walkin was a big Talmud Chacham. Chacham Avadia quotes a lot from his tshuvas, his Ganahara. So he has a tshuva about this, about a certain machla. Is it considered chole kol aguf? Want to consider chole b'mitzvos ben aguf? The Nishmas Avram by Dr. Abraham has a lot about this. He heard a lot from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and from other Rabbanim. When is it called chole kol aguf? Which sicknesses are only chole b'mitzvos ben aguf? So this Rebbe had a baby, and the doctor said there was an issue. They couldn't do the bris. And then when the doctor said that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon they can do the bris, he called the moel immediately. The caterer couldn't prepare a meal on the spot like that. So he had the bris right away. It says in Shulchan Aruch, l'chatchila you have 10 people by bris. It's not me'akeh b'di'eved. Like today, a lot of people, because of the sickness, the corona, so a lot of people don't want to fulfill the minhag. I don't blame them. Why do they have to put the baby in sakana? Why should anybody be put in sakana unnecessarily? But usually the minhag is you have a minyan. So he gathered together a minyan and had a bris right away. And then the caterer didn't prepare the meal till a couple of hours later. So after the bris was over, he told us when the suda is going to be. So again, so the Dvavram felt that if you have a milu shaleh bizmana, not only should you not postpone a next day or a month later, like the Nadi Yehuda said, he felt you shouldn't even postpone the next hour. If it's a milah bizmana, kol hayom kosher lemilah for milah bizmana, elish zviz magdim lemitzvah, it's only a hidden mitzvah, zviz magdim. But if it's a milah shaleh bizmana, then you're over b'chol rega, then you should do the bris, the earliest available opportunity. So he wrote the tshuva in Chelek Aleph of the Dvaravram that if the moel has scheduled two brisen for the same day, he should have the milah shaloi bizmana first and have the milah bizmana later, because the milah bizmana mikavadin is kol hayom kosher lemilah. The milah shaloi bizmana yo'eva b'chol rega, so he really shouldn't postpone. So in the second volume of the Dvaravram, which was published during his lifetime, he has several of tshuvas where he defends what he wrote in the first volume, because many rabbanim sent him letters. They disagreed, and they said, the Rav Shlomo Eger quotes this on the side of the page in the Big Yeridaya, that if you have two brisen on the same day, you should first do the milush bizmana, then later do the milush bizmana, because mekudush veini mekudush mekudush kodem. So they quote from the Chazon Ish that even though it's a strong taina what the Dvaravram had, but he said the minig in Europe was the rabbanim didn't accept the chiddush of the Dvaravram. Minig always was, like Rav Shlomo Eger quotes, that you do the milah bizmana first. Even though it's correct, you shouldn't really postpone, not only not to the next day, you shouldn't postpone later, but still, mekudesh vein mekudesh mekudesh kodim takes precedence over that din of postponing the milah shaloi bizmana a little bit. So the minig in Europe was not like the Dvar Avram. That's what they quote from the Chazon Ish. Yeah. So the din is that we have a milah bizmana. The Gemara has a machlokes amoraim in the beginning of Perek Hablezer the milah. How do you read the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Tazria? The pasuk says ishi ki sazria v'yolda zohar. So there's yemei tuma v'yemei tahara, there's 7 days of tuma and then 33 days of yemei tahara. And then on the eighth day v'yamish minim obsara olosai. So there's machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah Perek Yotze Dofen. That's the name of the baby. Yotze Dofen means a cesarean delivery. What if the woman has a baby, but it wasn't born the normal way? It was they had to cut open the Dofen and take the baby out. It didn't come out derech harechem. So there's a machlekes hatanim whether ima tmei oleida or not. Machlekes ablez and the chacham. We paskan ein ima tmei oleida. The only time the mother has imei tuma imei tara, 7 days of tuma, 33 days of imei tohar, dam tohar. That's only if there was a lady kedarka. If it's a yetze daifen, a cesarean delivery, then there's no imei tuma imei tara. So there's a machlekes hamaroyim in the beginning of perek ablez and the mila. Are the two connected? Because the one pasuk next to the other, one parsha. Should I say a din? Kol she'ein ima tmei aleida, ein anima lishmoina. The din of mila bishmini is only if ima tmei aleida. But if it's a yetze daifen, ein ima tmei aleida, then there's no din of shmini. Or maybe it's not totally zebezed, the two unrelated things. In order to have yimei tumah v'yimei tara, you have to have a leida kedarka. And if it's a yetze daifen, you don't have the malos, you don't have yimei tumah v'tara, but shmini you have anyway. So that's a machlokes hamaraim. And the Gemara says, the Gemara in the Erevin around Daf Mem Vav has a whole list. Whenever there's machlekes, these two tanoim, what's the accepted psak? Whenever there's machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, so we know Hilchasik Rabbi Yisui, Kishmuel Bedinim. Whenever there's machlekes, Abai V'Rove, we paskan like Rove, except for the Alkagam. The Gemara gives a whole list. So the Gemara has these two Amoraim who argue about Einimu Tamei Aleda by Yotze Deif and a cesarean delivery. If the cesarean delivery took place on Shabbos, whether the Mila, whether you need Shmini, do you have to wait till Yom HaShmini? And if you do have to wait, then it's even Deichon Shabbos. But if you don't have to wait till the Shmini, so you could have done the Bris on Sunday. They had a cesarean delivery on Shabbos. Then you can do, so the Milas, it's not a Mila Bismana to do the Bris on the day that the baby is born. But then you could have done the Bris on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You could have done it any day. That's the machlekes hamaraim. So the Gemara says, whenever these two amaraim, I forgot the two names, whenever these two amaraim have a machlekes, so the later amaraim who took a vote on all the issues never resolved any machlekes of theirs, and we treat it as a suffix. We always go to chumrah. So if a woman has a cesarean delivery, so we wouldn't perform the bris right away on the same, according to one opinion, you can do the bris today. Baby's healthy, do the bris today, the day the baby is born. So we wouldn't do the bris today, but we wait till the eighth day, next week. Baby, the cesarean delivery is on Thursday, wait till next Thursday. But if it's on Shabbos and it's next Shabbos, then we say, no, maybe the din is like the other opinion, that a yotze doifen doesn't need shmini. It could have done the bris the first 6 days in the week, Sunday through Friday. So then we would say, the bris is not the Shabbos, you have to wait till the Sunday after next Shabbos. So that's halacha l'maisa. There was a maisa shahoya here in the New York area that one of the balabatim didn't show up in shul on Shabbos morning. And then Shabbos afternoon, he came to shul. He said that his wife had a baby this morning. That's why he wasn't able to come to shul and to take his wife to the hospital. And they had to have a cesarean delivery. And he's going to have a bris next Shabbos. So everybody was greeting him, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Going to have the bris next Shabbos. And the rabbi in the shul was a musmach from YU. He was a young musmach. He didn't know all the dinim yet. So he was also mishing. He didn't know the din that if it's a yotze daifen, we're machmer in both directions. You don't do the bris toch shmeina, but if it's on Shabbos, you don't. If the cesarean delivery was Shabbos, then it's not dechen next Shabbos. So he didn't know that din. So the balabas, whose wife had the baby, happened to be a Sfardi. So in the middle of the week, he davened by the Sfardi Sheminyan, and he told Rabbi Ben Chaim, who teaches in the yeshiva, the older Rabbi Ben Chaim, not the younger one. He told the older Rabbi Ben Chaim that he's having a bris next Shabbos because his wife had a cesarean delivery. So he said, what do you mean? It's a din in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that you don't do a bris yotze daifen on Shabbos. So he says, I don't know. The rabbi in the shul on Shabbos afternoon, he didn't tell me that. So Rabbi Ben Chaim called up the rabbi and he said he wants to come visit him. And he came with three svarim. He came with the Gemara and with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And he shows him, here's the Gemara, here's the Rambam, here's the Shulchan Aruch. It says beferish that by Yotze Daifen, the bris is not Deich HaShabbos. So the rabbi was a young Muslim from YU. This was a maise many, many, many years ago. So the So the rabbi didn't know what to say. So they all knew the rabbi Soloveitchik often has a different opinion on a lot of different things. He didn't know, here there's nothing to have another opinion about. This is black and white in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. So he said, he's going to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik. Maybe he has a, he called Rabbi Soloveitchik afterward. Of course, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. You don't do the bris. It's a deif and it's not deichem. What's the din of a, what's the din of a milu shaloi bizmana on Yontav Sheni? So he said, that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh. Because the Mishnah says that if you have a milah shaloi bizmana, you're not allowed to do it on the second day Rosh Hashanah. So the second day Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arichta, it's Kedusha Achas. Second day Rosh Hashanah is Mochomer than the second day of any on the Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. So that's the Rambam's opinion. The Mishnah, it's a Mishnah twice, a Mishnah in Shabbos Perka, Beleza and the Mila, and it's a Mishnah in Erechin as well. The same Mishnah is repeated in two Mesichtes, that a Mila Shalai Bizmana is not Dechei Yantab Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So the Rambam understood, it's only Yantab Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, that's a real din. It's Kedusha Achaz, Yayma Arichta, but Yantab Sheni Shal Golias, we said from the Netziv, he thinks the Rambam holds it's only a Minig. So Mila Shalai Bizmana would be Dechei. And the Rosh disagrees. He says, no, the reason why the Mishnah gives Yantab Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah was composed in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the only Yantav Sheni they have is Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. They don't have Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. But every other Yantav Sheni Shal Golias is the same, that Amir Shalab Bizmana is not Dech. But that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh. So the Nedi Behuda has a famous tshuva, where he says like this, What's the din? We had this. A couple had twin boys. So one boy was born, both boys were born a week before Yom Tov Pesach. So one boy was born Ben Ashmashes, going chveis from Wednesday to Thursday, whatever it was. And the other baby was born after Tzeisach Kochavim. So the one who was born after Tzeisach Kochavim has a milah bizmana next week on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. But what about the one who was born Ben Ashmashes? So he can't do the bris. He can't do the bris on the first day Yom Tov next week, and maybe there's Toch Shmeina. He can't do the bris on the second day Yom Tov. Maybe it's a milah shaloi bizmana. Milah shaloi bizmana with Machmed that you don't do on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias like the Rosh. So the Nadi Behuda says, but over here, where it's a sfek sfeke, maybe it's a mila bizmana, because Ben Ashmashes is a suffix, I'm suffix Laila. So maybe it's a mila bizmana, maybe Ben Ashmashes is like Laila. And even if the baby that was born Ben Ashmashes is considered kiyom, so it'll be a mila shalai bizmana. So the Rambam's opinion is a mila shalai bizmana is the chayyant of Sheni Shal Golias. So the Pischa Tshuva quotes in Eri Behuda says that in this kind of a case, we would say that the baby that's born Ben Ashmashes also has the bris on the same day. The parents were nervous. They're going to have the baby that was born by Laila is going to have a bris on Yom Tov Sheni. The baby that was born Ben Ashmashes earlier is going to have a bris on Chol HaMoed. After Yom Tov, it's going to have two parties. Going to have to gather everybody together and pay for two different parties. So the Psak Halacha was, no, based on the Nadi Behuda, that both brisim are going to be on the same day, both on Yom Tov Sheni, because if it's a suffix, Mila Bizmana, Mila Shaloi Bizmana, so then it's really a Sfek Sfeke. Maybe Ben Ashmashes is like Laila, so the one boy named Ben Ashmashes also has a Mila Bizmana on Yom Tov Sheni, and even if Ben Ashmashes is like Yom, and it's a Mila Shaloi Bizmana, maybe the din is like the Rambam. We haven't resolved that machlokes. Maybe the din is like the Rambam, that even a milu shaloi bizmana is also deiche Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Or the same thing, let's say a baby is born a week before, baby is born on a Wednesday, and next Wednesday is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Next Tuesday and Wednesday is Yom Tov. But the baby that was delivered the first week on Wednesday was a cesarean delivery. So cesarean is a machlokes that's not resolved. Whether he's nima l'shmeina or not. So it's a suffix, maybe it's a mila bizmana, maybe even a cesarean delivery is also din of shmini. And even if there's not din of shemini, maybe if you consider it midi shalai bizmana, there's not din of shemini, and maybe midi shalai bizmana is dechi yantav shenu shal galias. So that's all the Pischei Tshuva quotes that from the Nodi Yehuda. Quotes all of that. Shaila is, these kulas only apply if it's yantav shenu shal galias other than Rosh Hashanah. If it's yantav shenu Rosh Hashanah, then you don't have this fek sveik. Because yantav shenu shal Rosh Hashanah, that's a Mishnah. Then the Milush Leibizmana is not Deche. Milush Leibizmana is not Deche Yantam Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. That's Beferish. There was a great Goan 100 years ago, Rabitzel Ponavezha. Yitzchak Rabinowitz is then, Rabinovich. He was the biggest, the Rab Chaim held, he was the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. He was such a big Baal Mechadish. Every so often, he would say a chiddush that was against the Beferish Gemara. So, of course, they didn't listen to him. He had a lot of wild. He was a very, very original thinker. And whenever he came up with these big chiddushim, so we usually don't accept all of his chiddushim. One of his famous chiddushim was that you're not allowed to deliver a hesped on Chanukah. You're not allowed to deliver a hesped on Chanukah or on Yontif. That's only if the one is going to deliver the hesped is not a relative of the niftar. What if it's going to be one of the relatives who is in a state of aninus? So the whole reason why you're not allowed to deliver a hesped is because on Chanukah or on Yontif, there's a mitzvah of simcha. Deliver a hesped is saddening. So it's a steer with the mitzvah. To deliver a hesped is a violation of the mitzvah of simcha. But if the one who's delivering the hesped is an einan, he's the son of the niftar. So the einan is not allowed to fulfill any mitzvah. So he doesn't have the mitzvah of simchas yantar. So for him, there's no prohibition. So the other people, the rabbi should not deliver a hesped. Friends should not deliver a hesped. But the einan, he may deliver a hesped. So all the gedolim disagreed with him. They said, what does it help? He's allowed to deliver the hesped, but no one's allowed to listen to the hesped. For everybody else, it is yantar. Then there is a chi of simcha. So you're not allowed to listen to the hesped. Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of people violate that din. On Chanukah, on Chalamoid, the people dying every day of the year. So on Chanukah, Chalamoid, you're going to have a funeral for sure. They always deliver a hesped, that the kind of a hesped that you're not allowed to deliver. Anyway, so this Rabitzel Ponavezha had the following chiddush. Let's say you expect guests to come on Yontif, and you don't have anything you have to bake some cookies in order to feed them. You don't know how many people are going to come. So you're only going to bake exactly bitzimtzum, how many cookies you need. And maybe some more people are going to come. So each one is only going to get one cookie. You have to have a couple of extra cookies in case more people come. So whenever there's a suffix, how much you're going to need. So misafik, that's all included in Eichel Nefesh. So he argues, the Gemara says, there's a machleket bisham and misil, where they say mitoich, and we paskin mitoich. We just had it in the beginning of Psochim. So mitoich shuhutra maleches yantav l'tzarech ochal nefesh, shuhutra nami l'tzarech hayom k'tzas. If the pasuk would have said, if the pasuk means ach bayom rishon tashbisu, if it would mean that you should burn the chametz on the first day Pesach, even if you would have held like Rabbi Yehuda, ein biyach chametz ala b'sreifa, but if the pshat would be Bayam Arish means on the first day of Yontif, then it wouldn't have been an Issa Malacha because we say Mitoch Shehutra Havara Mitzorach Ochal Nefesh, you're allowed to make a fire in order to cook some food, Hutra Nami, the Tzorach Hayom Ktasi would be permitted to make a fire. We wouldn't be Moilad Esh Mechadosh, that's awesome, the Rabbanan, okay? But we would light a fire from an already existing Esh in order to burn the Chametz. We would allow it. So Rabitzel Panavizha says that whatever malacha is involved in performing a bris, it's a question which malacha is involved. So whatever malacha is involved, so he thinks you should say mitoich, since that malacha would be mutter. Let's say we usually assume that it's going to be bleeding. And what's wrong with bleeding? Bleeding is shechet, until it's neshama. There are three different opinions. What malacha? The Gemara says clearly, if you cause an animal to bleed or a person to bleed, that's a malacha deraisa. What malacha is it? That the Gemara never says. So there are three different opinions, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. So the generally accepted opinion is Tesis, because the Achronim point out the Yerushalmi says like Tesis. So Yerushalmi is from the Amaroi. So it says Yerushalmi like Tesis, that is the Malacha of Netilas Neshama. So Sheikh Dan Yantav is Mutta. The Sheikh Dan Yantav is Mutta. The Sarachal Nefesh, Tilas Neshama is Mutta. So just like Netilas Neshama is Mutta, the Sarachal Nefesh, so it should be Mutta also to fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. If it's a Mila Bismana, if it has to be done today, if it's Mila Shla Bismana, so it doesn't have to be done today. Could have been done yesterday, could be done tomorrow. But if it's a Mila Bismana, you're going to miss it. If you don't do it today, you're going to miss the mitzvah. So then it should be Mutta. So Oichal Nefesh is Mutta, even if it's only a Safek. You're not sure if you're going to need so many cookies. You think people are going to come over. So you bake a lot of cookies, and then it turns out hardly anybody shows up, or nobody shows up. So you did an Averi. You didn't do an Averi. You thought that there may be a need for the Oichal Nefesh. So it was Mutta. If you think there may or may not be a need for Oichal Nefesh, then it's included in the Heter Oichal Nefesh. It's a Ramban like that in Psochim, in the Mochamas. So Hu Adinami, if it's a Sofik Mila Bizmana, the baby was born Bein Hashmashes, and baby was born, let's say, Bein Hashmashes between Thursday night and Friday. And next week, Friday is Yontif. So the first day Yontif, you're only allowed to do a Mila Bismana, but this is a Suffolk Mila Bismana, Suffolk Mila Shalai Bismana. So the Mishnah says that if it's a Suffolk Mila Bismana, Mila Shalai Bismana, it's not Decha Shabbos. So he says, but the Mishnah never says, all the Rishonim say, and the Shulchan Aruch says, but the Mishnah, he claims, the Mishnah never says that a Suffolk Mila Bismana is not Decha Yontif Rishon. So he thinks, the Nadi Behuda said a Safik Mila Shalai Bismana is Dechi Yontav Sheni because of a Svek Sveke. Maybe it's a Mila Bismana, and even if it's not, maybe the din is like the Ramam, that Mila, Bris Mila, on Yontav, even a Mila Shalai Bismana and Mutah Yontav Sheni. So that's Nadi Behuda's Makel on Yontav Sheni. But he, the Rabitzala Panavesh, was Makel on Yontav Rishon. He says the Mishnah doesn't say the Rishonim added that on. He thinks all the Rishonim are wrong. He's prepared to take on all the Rishonim, they're all wrong. And Sofik Mila Bizman and Mila Shalai Bizman is also Sofik Darais Elochum. So that's a Tzorach HaYom Ktas. Just like Sofik Ochal Nefesh is Mutter to bake and to cook. So Sofik Mila Bizman and Mila Shalai Bizman is also Dechi Yantav. So all the latest Svarim point out that it's an Ofeni Gemara in Chulin, a Beferish Gemara, that is Sofik Mila Bizman and Mila Shalai Bizman is not Dechi Yantav Rishon. That's a Beferish Gemara. You see, he's right. It's not in the Mishnah, but it's a Beferish Gemara. Tell his story in the biography of the Chazon Ish, that he wanted to go learn when he was young. He wanted to go learn in one of the famous yeshivas. So he was considering learning Bar Rav Chaim. So then he realized if he'll go learn Bar Rav Chaim, he won't be able to be Nizar on Chodesh. There was no way he would be able to be careful about Chodesh, and that was out of the question. So he considered the possibility of learning in Panevish Yeshiva. Rabitzel at Panevish was giving shiur. So Rabitzel, they were learning Kiddushin. So Rabbi Tzalapanovich gave a shiur on Evidivri Nirtza, Ritzias Evidivri. So he said over the din in the Gemara, what it sounds like the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, that when do you do the Ritzia if the Evidivri is working for 6 years? And then today, Thursday, is the last day of the 6 years. What is today? Is Yud Ches Cheshvan. So he was sold as an Evidivri 6 years ago on Yud Tes Cheshvan. So now it's 6 years later, Yud Ches Cheshvan. This year is the last day of the sixth year. So you have to wait till late, late in the afternoon when there's only less than something, I think the Gemara says, less than a Shavuot's worth of work left to the end of the Sheish. Then you do the Ritzia on the Eved Ivri. So that's the simple pshat in the Gemara, that the Ritzia is done mamish the last minute on the sixth day. So the Chazon Ish, as a teenager, knew that it's not correct. Because there's a Mishnah in Shkolim. Mishnah in Shkolim says, I think the Mishnah says, Be'echa be'odor, rotzim esavodim. You do the Ritzia and the Eved Ivri on Rosh Chodesh Ador. Why? Everybody bought an Eved Ivri 6 years ago on the second day of Ador. So the first day of Ador is always the last day of the Sheish. It's highly unlikely. People buy an Eved Ivri, Bizman she'yavol noig. Now there's no dinner, there's no institution of Eved Ivri, Bizman she'yavol noig. But Bizman she'yavol noig, there was such a thing as an Eved Ivri, they would die. They would buy an Eved Ivri any day in the year. It cannot be that everybody bought the Eved Ivri Beis Ador. Aleph Ador, 6 years later, is always the last day of Sheish. So he knew that it's against the Mishnah, and he was listening there. So he took, in the base matters, there was Svarim and the bookcases of them. He took Yerushalmi and Shkolim. Usually Shkolim is printed in the end of Psachim. He took it and he turned to the first page where it has Bechabad, the Ratzim Savarim, where Bitzel HaPanavesha was standing in the front by a shtender, giving the shir in the base matters on the Gemara and Kiddushin, on the din at the end of the first paragraph, about Ritzia, the Ivri. So the Chazanisha, as a teenager, walked up to the front, put the Gemara Shkolim on the shtender, and he pointed to the Mishnah, and he walked out. And then Rabbi Tzala Panajah realized that he made a mistake. It can't be that that's Pshat and Gemara. You always do the Ritzia the last minute in Shesh. How can it be everybody bought Eved Ivri on Beis Adar? So the Chazanish decided then, this time I caught him, I know it's a Beferish and Mishnah, he's making a mistake. Next time he'll say something that'll be against an Afani Gemara. I won't know. I won't know where the Gemara is. This time I know that it's a Mishnah. Next time I won't know. So he decided he can't learn by him. There's a lot of original chidushim that when Reb Shmuel Salant was getting old, Reb Shmuel Salant was the head of the Badatz, the Erech HaRedis for the Ashkenazim, and so for many centuries they were only Sfardim. These are the Beis Yosef till the early 1800s. They were only Sfardim. In the early 1800s, Talmidei HaGro and the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov started to move to Eretz Yisrael because the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov told their followers that they feel that if we'll have an aliyah, this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. So they said so they started to move to Eretz Yisrael, the early 1800s. So then they needed a bezna for the Ashkenazim. So the Badatz is a bezna, the Acharedis, that was there for the kehillas of the Ashkenazim. So in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Reb Shmuel Salant was the rabbi. So when he was getting, he lived to a very old age. When he was getting old, he felt the needs an assistant rabbi to take over the rabbanis, because he's not going to live forever. So there was a whole pilpul, whom should they take? So Reb Chaim, that's how they say, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik recommended they should take Bitzel Panavezha, because Mora HaRoda had enough, because the practice used to be whenever a rabbi would retire from Europe, he would move to Yerushalayim, and they would join the Eidah HaRedis. They had enough rabbanim who knew how to pass Kunshadas. So Reb Chaim felt that they need a big person who knows how to say a knockout shir. And he had great respect for Reb Bitzel HaPanavezha. He thought he was the biggest Baal Mechadish of the generation. But so he recommended they should take Reb Bitzel HaPanavezha, but they didn't. The end of the story was they took the Aderis, who was Rav Kook's father-in-law, from his first wife. Rav Kook's first wife was the daughter of the Aderis. So he came in 1901, and Reb Shmuel Salant gave him over the Rabbanis in Yerushalayim right away. And then he died a few years later. He died in 1906, and Reb Shmuel Salant was still healthy. He was older. He was just 5 years older in 1906. So he took back the Rabbanis in Yerushalayim. But he was a big Baal Mechadish, and a lot of times his chidushim were against, once in a while, it was against an Afani Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara learns out from Psukim that a bris milah has to be done by Yom L'chatchila, should not be done before Hanetzach Hama, that's a Mishnah and Kiddushin, but B'riyevet, as long as it was done after Alos HaShachar, it would be kosher. But if you do Balayla, it's not kosher. So that's a Machloikes HaTanoim. When you say milah may not be done Balayla, is that only a milah bizmana? Means if the baby was born last Friday, I'm going to do the bris tonight. On Thursday night, it's a dain lo higia hazman. You have to wait till Friday morning. But let's say the baby was born last week, a week and a half ago on Sunday. I'm going to do the bris tonight on Thursday night. That's a milu shalai bizmana. So if it's shalai bizmana, there's a machlekes hatana. We pass kan alocha lemaisa. Even a milu shalai bizmana may not be done balayla. And then we assume if you do a milah balayla, we follow the shach that you have to do atavas dambris. You have to do it over again. The big shach on the first page in Hilchos Milah, whether the nochri did the bris milah, or the milah was done balayla, the milah was done toch shmoina, whenever there's some kind of a psul or another, we assume you always have to do a atavas dambris. So there's a very difficult shuvah from Rabbi Yankel Femden. The Pischet Shuvah quotes it, and he leaves it like that. I don't think we should accept it. Yankel Femden has a lot of shuvahs that are difficult. That are not accepted. So Rabbi Yankel Femden is quoted by the Pischet Shuvah in Hilchos Milah like this. What if the moil is running? There are moilim like that. They run all day long. They go from one bris to the other to the other. And then it's so late. The shkia is gonna, soon going to be, 4:30 is going to be the shkia, another couple of weeks. And now it's ben hashmashes. It's 10 minutes after the shkia, and it's ben hashmashes. So can you do the bris and ben hashmashes? Or should you wait till tomorrow morning? So the pashtus is, of course, you should not do it ben hashmashes. Ben hashmashes, safik yam, safik laila. And if it's done by laila, you have to repeat, you have to do atav is done bris. What's the chachma to do? So Rabbi Yankev Emden says, not so. He says, it's better to do the bris ben hashmashes to possibly gain that it'll be a mila bismana, because ben hashmashes, safik yam, safik laila. I don't think that should be the accepted opinion. I know there are moelim who do that, because the Pesach Shuva quotes it from Rabbi Yankev Emden. I think we should not follow that opinion. Then the Gemara has an issue. We said a few times the word chazake, the Prima Godim, has in his psicha kolelis to Orachaim. It's not really an introduction to Orachaim. It's a general introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. It's kedai to go through it, to have different people put out svarim on the psicha kolelis of the Prima Godim. He has so much there, general topics on Torah Shebal Peh. So the Prima Godim writes there that the word chazaka has different meanings in different contexts. So sometimes it means status quo. What was it yesterday? You follow chazaka. It's becheskas tohar, becheskas tameh, becheskas heta, becheskas iser. Sometimes chazaka means aruba delesa kamon. Chazak al chaver sheni moitzi mitachas yada dov sheni mesukan. The person is a religious Jew. We assume he was mafresh chumas and maisis the day he brought it into the house, even though he died the same day. Chazak al chavetz, a strong roif. Sometimes chazaka means who's muchzik on the money. Hamotzi mechaber olav arayin. Who's bishusa is it? And whose bishusa is the money? And sometimes you say, if mesu baneha machmas mila, a woman had one baby boy and he died after the bris, and she has another baby, he also died after the bris. So they have to wait till three babies die after the bris, or two babies die. Machlekes is Rabbi Shim Gamliel, where the betrayzim they have a chazaka, betlazim they have a chazaka. A woman is going to establish a veses, or a shoah muad. How many times does the shoah have to make an egicha that it should become a shoah muad? So according to Rashi, it's a machlekes abai v'rava, whether two times or three times. We pass on three times. Rashi learns that it's a machlekes abai v'rava, because it's machlekes Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether how many times does a strange occurrence have to repeat itself that it should be considered a latest hasafik, that maybe there's a pattern here. Chazal knew that there's such a thing as, what do you call it, when the blood doesn't clot. I forgot what it's called.
Hemophilia.
So they knew there's such a thing, and they knew not only the same woman maybe is a carrier, maybe her sisters are also. So if you have a few sisters and one lost a baby after the bris, and the second one lost a baby after the bris, so that's, we pass can betray them, they have a chazaka over there, that it's enough to create a later sasafik. That was the machlekes. How many times? Two times or three times? So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes, the mechab and the ramah. What if you don't have two sisters? What if you have two brothers? So the baby is born, and the father of this, and let's say the two brothers, so one had a baby, died machmas mila, the other one had a baby, also died after the bris because the blood didn't clot. Do you say that hemophilia only runs by the women, or it even runs by the men? So we know for a fact today, it only it's carried by the women. It's not carried by the men. The Mechaber writes like that. The Mechaber had the tradition, hemophilia is only carried by the women, not by the men. The Ramah writes not so. So that's the question. I don't know if it came up, if it ever came up in recent years. But now they have ascertained that the Mechaber is right. The Mesa Bana Machmas Mila only applies to the sisters. It doesn't apply to the brothers. The Rambam has an interesting statement. The Rambam quotes the din from the Gemara, Bakol Molin, in order to perform the Bris Mila, you can use a tzur, schuchis, krumah shalkana, you can use a scissors, you can use a knife, anything that cuts well, you can use for Bris Mila. Then he says, Klanog kol Israel, to use a knife. What do you mean? And the practice by the Jews is who then does a Bris Mila. The whole Mishnah Torah is written for Jewish people. So what kind of a lashon is that? Klanog kol Israel, to do the Bris Mila with a knife. So one of the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael from years ago, from 70 years ago, did a lot of work on the Karaitic literature. So he points out that Karaim didn't accept all the traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh, but every so often they had to make up their own drushes on the psukim, because there are psukim that are so strange. So there's a pasuk in Yeshua when they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Yeshua ben Nun, when they go to the city Gilgal, Shuv Malas Bnei Yisrael Shenis. So the Pasha Peshat is there was a Bris Mila in Mitzrayim 40 years earlier, before Yitzias Mitzrayim, before Korban Pesach Mitzrayim. And they should have a big national Bris Mila now, because most of the Shvatim didn't observe the mitzvah Mila during the 40 years of the Midbar, because the weather conditions were such that there was a slight sakana. The only Shevet Levi observed that's a Bris Chayinsor. Shevet Levi observed the Bris Mila, despite the fact that there was a slight sakana. All the other Shvatim did not observe it. Yeah, that's what I mentioned from the Chasam Sefer and the Tshuva Eska Kasha. They had an Orthodox rabbi by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu not take a stand? He should have told Shevet Levi they're doing wrong. They shouldn't perform Bris Mila on their children. Or he should tell all the other Shvatim that they're doing wrong, that there's not enough of a sakana, so they should observe Bris Mila. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu allow this? Shevet Levi is observing Bris Mila. They're putting their babies b'sakana, and the other Shvatim are not observing. Is there a sakana? Is there not a sakana? So the Chasam Sofer asked Akasha, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu take a stand? So I thought the answer is based on the din of Shomer Psoim Hashem. The Gemara has a din. Reb Chaim Oizer has a tshuva where he quotes quite a few major poskim in Europe who write like this, that whenever there's a slight suffix sakana, nowhere near 50-50, then it depends on the patient. It depends on the one whose life is bisakana. If he personally is nervous, then for him it's called the suffix sakana. For the other person is not nervous, even though it's the exact same sakana, for the other person is not nervous, it's not considered a suffix sakana. If it's a little baby who's not in a position to be nervous or not to be nervous, it depends on the one who's in charge of his good health. The parents have the obligation to take care of their child. So for the Shevet Levi had more bitochen, they were not nervous. It was a very slight suffix sakana, nowhere near 50-50. So Shevet Levi had more bitochen, they personally were not nervous. And for them, it was not considered a suffix sakana. For the other Shvatim who were nervous, it was considered a suffix sakana. Now that's really the Pashup Shat and the Pashup Shum, others, Bnei Yisrael Shenis. So many Jews during the 40 years of the Midbar, so many people were born, and most of the people didn't observe Bris Mila. So they should do Bris Mila again. The Gemara in Yevamos has an additional interpretation in the pasuk. Even the people who had a Bris Mila from the days of Avraham Avinu until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only did Mila, they didn't do Priya. So now everyone had to repeat, they had to do the Priya. All right, that's an additional pshat. But the Pasha pshat in the pasuk is like that. Shul Marnus Al Shenish, you should do a big national Bris Mila, because all the babies born in the Midbar, Ruba de Ruba of them didn't have a Bris Mila done on them. So the pasuk says, "Kach Hakadosh Baruch Hu instructs Yeshua ben Nun, Kach lecha charvos tzurim, shuv molas bnei Yisrael shenis." How do you translate charvos tzurim? So pasuk pshat is take a lot of knives, because they're going to be tens of thousands of people who need a bris milah, who didn't have a bris during the 40 years in the Midbar. So you need a lot of knives and get all the moelim you can get and try to have one big national bris milah. So the Karaites, the Karaim, had their own interpretation. You run the Yotze Bris Mila if you use the scissors. You have to have two knives that cut one against the other. Charvos Tzurim. So that's what the Rambam writes, that the minig by the Orthodox Jews, Karnog Gol Yisrael, the minig by the Orthodox Jews, not by the Jews. There are Jews, the Rambam dealt with a lot of Karaim. So the minig by the Orthodox Jews is we bedavka do not use the scissors. Normally, you have to cut around in a circle to cut off the Or Harla. It would make sense to use scissors, not to use a knife. So our minig is bedafke, not to use the scissors. It shouldn't look like we're doing like the Karoim. There are a few other things that we do. The Rama has the same lashon by Kedusha Kesa. We spoke about it. You can either be Mekadosh Anisha, the Kesa for Bishtar of the Bia. So the Chachamim prohibited Kedusha Bia. Rab Manger Aman the Mekadosh Bibia. Rab would give Makas Mardis if someone would be Mekadosh Anisha Bibia. The Gemara says because it's a chutzpah, we don't understand why it's muta minatora, but minatora it is muta. It's also the Rabbanan. So you're left with either Kiddushe Shtar or Kiddushe Kesef. So the Rambam says, no, Golis are the Kaddish B'Kesef. Why? Because the Karaites didn't believe in Kesef. None of the Karaim. There are three different groups, roughly speaking, the three groups of Karaites, was from Europe, from Asia, from Africa, and all three don't have Kiddushe Kesef, because Kiddushe Kesef is only learned at Kicha, Kicha Misdei Ephraim, Ayal Fusa, either Xerishova or something similar to Xerishova. So the Karaites didn't believe in Kiddushe Kesef. So that's why the Rambam writes, Kiddushe Kesef is Direi Soy from Dorosh Baal Peh, Kvanag Chol Yisrael, the meaning by the Orthodox Jews is, we dafke use Kiddushe Kesef. We want to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Kiddushe Kesef. And the same thing by Cholent, the Baal HaMoor writes, and whoever does need hot Cholent on Shabbos morning, Tzolch B'dika Achrav, you have to check to see maybe he's from the Kata Karoim, because the Karaites interpreted the Sevaresh B'chol Moshvesech, not allowed to leave any fires on Shabbos. So Friday night, the food would be warm. They just heated it before Shabbos. Shabbos morning, the food would be cold. So the meaning is that you have to dafke have some warm food. Anyway, so that's the Rambam writes, that the meaning is that you use dafke, a knife. You don't use a scissors. In the days of the Gemara, the practice was that they did milim priya bizach hazeh. Milim means you cut off the or ha'orlo, the thicker skin, and the or ha'priya is the thinner membrane that's below the thick skin. So, and sometimes in Shulchan Aruch, sometimes there would be mechab two different milim. One to do the milim, boilim would dvai for the covid to have the schus to do a bismila. So you can have two different moilim. One of them is going to do the mila, one is going to do the priya. Then at a certain point in history, the moilim realized it's not necessary to do the mila and the priya separately. You can cut off both the or ha'orlon or a priya bevasacha. So many were opposed to this. So the Hungarians, now it boils down to Hungarians, are the ones who insist you have to do mila the way they always did it traditionally. You have to do in two steps. You have to cut off the or ha'orlon. And the Ora Priya, you don't have to cut off. You just rip with your fingernail and you fold it back. And that's enough. So most Moilim in the world don't follow that practice. Most of the Moilim cut off both the Or Horla and the Ora Priya Bevasachas. The Gemara says, we learned this in Psochem Dav Zayin. Tosis refers to the Machlokes, the Rashbam, the Rabbeinatam. Rashbam is the older brother of the Rabbeinatam. So there was a machlokes, when does one recite the bracha lachnisa v'bisa shal Avraham Avinu? So the Rashbam is of the opinion, kol ha-mitzvahs kulam baruch aleim boi v'lasi asam, because it's a bichas ha-mitzvah, she kudushanam b'mitzvah sa-vitzivanu, lachnisa v'bisa shal Avraham Avinu. And many Sfardim have that practice. They say it before the moil even begins. They say when they do kisa shal Eliyahu, they say the bracha. Navi Aben says the bracha lachnisa before the moil is even ready to do the bris milu. But the Rabbeinatam holds now that the bracha should dafke be recited lachar asiyasim. So it's a mamish. Menakotz alakotz, the Rashbam holds the bracha lachnisa should be recited before you begin the bris, and the Rabbeinatam holds it should be recited after you finish the whole bris. So there's no way to satisfy both opinions. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the compromise of the Rosh. He said the bracha in the middle, after you did the mila, before you do the priya. So this was nicha centuries ago by the Hungarians that they still do it in two steps. They do the mila separately and the priya separately. But by most moilim, they do mila priya bevasachas. They cut off both. They don't do it in two steps. So bottom line, we really follow the Rabbeinatam. The moil always says, as soon as I say the bracha ala mila, say amen, and by the time you finish amen with two syllables, I will have already cut off both or hol and or a priya. So then you say, the Avi Aben says right away, the bracha lachnisa v'bisa. It's lachar asiyasim. We really follow the Rabbi Natan. We don't have the pshara of the Rosh over here because we're not doing it in between. But in the days of the Ramah, the minhag still, the days of Mechaber the Ramah, the general practice still was. And then before the days of Mechaber the Ramah, the issue was brought up, I think, Rameir Shapiro has a collection of tshuvas that's called Or HaMeir. So one of the tshuvas he has is about this. That he died 100 years ago. He started Daf Yomi, I think 1923 or something like that. So during his lifetime, some of the Moilim were raising the issue. They want to do both Bevasachas, Milam Priya together, to cut out both Bevasachas. So he has old Shuvah. He says you shouldn't change. You should do the way the old Minig was. Today, I think it's only the Hungarians do like that, but the Orah Meir has a tshuva, you shouldn't. And he quotes from Ibn Yarchi. Ibn Yarchi is the Sefer Hamanik, I think. He lived in the days of the Rishonim. He's on the Siddur. So he was opposed also to changing the meaning. You should do Mizrach HaZeh. You shouldn't do it together. But the common practice is that you do it together. So in the days of the Mechaber Neramon, the meaning was that they did it separately, the Mila and the Priya separately. So there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Can you have two different people on Shabbos? If you have the Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos, so are you permitted to be mechabed 1 mile to do the Mila, 1 mile to do the Priya? Because the Mila is going to do the Mila. Mila lo par kila lo mila. It's not Yotze the Mitzvah. So the Mechaber holds that you have to have the same Mila. The Mila is not allowed to do Mila on Shabbos alone unless he's going to do the Priya also. He does the Mila, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. So the Mechaber holds he didn't have any heter. The heter to be Mechal Shabbos, when you do a Mila, you're doing Chilul Shabbos. Heter is only if you're fulfilling the Mitzvah. The Tzorach Kiyam HaMitzvah is Decha, it's like Ese Decha Lo Sese. Here it can't be Ese Decha Lo Sese, because it's a Lo Sese Sheesh Bekoris. Chilul Shabbos is Koris. Ein Ese Decha Lo Sese Sheesh Bekoris. And Chilul Shabbos is Esei V'loi Sesei, V'ein Esei Dechal Esei V'yesei, the two good reasons why it's not a regular, normal din of Esei Dechal Esei. But the Mechaber still holds that the Tzorach Kiyam HaMitzvah, Mila B'zmana, is Dechal Shabbos. So you have to fulfill the Mitzvah. If you only do Mila, you haven't fulfilled the Mitzvah. The Ramo says that he thinks not so, and he brings a rai from Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. A Karbon Shezmana Kavua is Dechal Shabbos also. And in order for the korban to be kosher, you have to have shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, dalar avodas. And they always divided the avodas to four different people. So one kohen did the shechita, one kohen did the kabbalah, third kohen did the halacha, fourth kohen did the zrika. Four different steps. So how is the first kohen allowed to do the shechita? He's doing chilul Shabbos and he didn't fulfill the whole mitzvah. He's relying on the second, the third, and the fourth kohanim to complete it. So just like on Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash, you always had many Kohanim divide up the Avodah. The Rambam thinks the same is true regarding Bris Mila. The Vilna Gaon explains what the issue is. He says the Machlokes is whether Mila, the Shabbos is Duchuya or Hutra. If it's Mila, Bizmana is Decha Shabbos, it means that Tzorach Kiyam HaMitzvah is Decha. So you have to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. I, by the Korbanah, so he says, no, that's a Befevish Gemara and Yuma. That's a Beferish Gemara in Yuma. It's at the end of a perek later in Yuma, the end of the fifth perek or something. That Karbonis, Shizmanim Kavu, Adecha Shabbos, is Hutra. Shabbos is Hutra means HaKrabbos HaKarbonis, Shizmanim Kavu, it was never included in the Yisr Chilu Shabbos. Not that the Tzorach Kiyam HaMitzvah is Decha the Yisr. If the Tzorach Kiyam HaMitzvah is Decha the Yisr, then you have to fulfill a mitzvah. If you only do the Shechita, you didn't do the rest, you didn't do the mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon says, Karbanis and the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Ramo is right. Everybody agrees to that. But the Ramo wants to prove from that, who are the Nami, Bris Mila, you're allowed to have two different people. Do the Bris Mila, it's not a good proof. Maybe Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos, maybe it's only Duchuya. Maybe Shabbos is not Hutra there, maybe it's Duchuya. But the Gro learns that that is the Machloikis, the Mechaber and the Ramo, where the Mila Bizman on Shabbos is Hutra or Duchuya. If it's Hutra, so you can even have more than one person do it. The minig in Yerushalayim in recent years, I remember one of my teachers when I was a student in college, one of the teachers was Rabbi Osher Ziv, was born in Yerushalayim, he was brought up, and then he came, he learned Baruch Moshe Soloveitchik, he learned in Shiva Kabbalah, same time as my father. So he said that he's the one who put out a new edition of the Tshuvas HaRamah. So he writes in the footnotes there, and he told us, minig in Yerushalayim, he remembered, was that to demonstrate that the halacha is like the Ramah, that even though all week long they had 1 mile to do the Mila and the Priya, but on Shabbos they would have 2 mile to demonstrate that the halach is like the Ramon, not like the Mechaber, that it's permissible to have the Mila divided to two. Usually we have a din, you're not permitted to recite the Bracha Keneged Erva. So here the baby has the Erva as Megula. So how does the Moil recite the Bracha? It's not a problem. But the Mefarshim give two different explanations why. So one explanation is that it's only called the Eva Ha'orla, that Eva is only called Erva when he's a Ben Tesh Shana V'yamechad, he's Roy L'biya. Before Ben Tesh Shana V'yamechad, Ein B'yasa B'ya, So it's like a toe, it's like a finger, it's like eyes, it's like a different organ of the body. So then even if you're not doing a bris milah, if a baby's running around naked and he's younger than 9 years old, so it doesn't have a din of orla. It doesn't have a din of erva. And the other explanation they give is, no, there is no such din. That Aver is Erva even before the age of 9. It's a different reason. Since this is the thing, this is the object that you're doing the mitzvah to, so you Adarabi, the bracha should be recited over Lasios, not over the Aver, not too far in advance. So the Moel should be holding on to the Aver, ready to do the bris milah immediately. Rav Kamina will be, what if a baby's running around naked, not bishas milah? Can you say a bracha? If he's clean, if he's dirty, so the tzoya is a din of tzoya, meraglim is a din of meraglim. And also in Afkamina, unfortunately, under the communists, they didn't allow the Jews to observe the mitzvah milah. Many Jews were moisa nefesh. They would, in a hidden fashion, they would observe the mitzvah milah. But if the government would catch you, they'd put you in prison. So many Jews would come to America when it was still under the communists. And they would have older children who never had a bris milah. So the child will be older than 9 years old. Or let's say you're being malager. You're being malager. So the ger is, you're doing a bris milah on a ger. The ger is more than 9 years old. So does the moel have to cover the orla when he says the bracha when he's doing milas ager? The person is older than 9, but he's doing the mitzvah on this. So that's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. What's the reason for this practice? We usually assume that when there's a bris in shul, so you leave out tachnon because tachnon is not recited on a yontif. Whenever there's an inyan of simcha, so whenever there's a bris, that's an inyan of simcha, so you leave out tachnon. It could even be that, let's say, the waiters are going to have their own minyan. The boys are going to be waiters, but the bris going to have an early minyan. And none of the three Bale Bris are going to be there. In Shulchan Aruch, they say there are three people that are considered Bale Bris: the Sandik, the Avi Aben, and the Moel. So if in Shul, any one of the three people are in Shul, say so leave Atak. One, if none of them are in Shul, but everybody knows the bris is going to be over here. We're all going to participate in the bris. So the waiters have an early minyan because they have to set up early. So the Shulchan Aruch says, for the people who have a shaychus, but the bris, you leave out tachna. What about by mincha? So it says by mincha, the three people, the sandik, the avi aben, and the moel, do not say tachna, even by mincha, but the rest of the shul should say tachna. In the days of the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on daf lamed beis amud beis. They had Gzeris HaMalchus, like under the communists, Rachmana Litzlan. So they had Gzeris HaMalchus, they didn't allow observing bris milah. So they would do it in a clandestine fashion. So whenever they would have a candle burning in the middle of the day, why do you need candles burning in the middle of the day? So that's to draw attention. That was a simon, that was a hidden simon, that there's a bris taking place somewhere here. So that's why the meaning was for many generations. I haven't seen it in a long, long time. That's why the meaning was for many generations. By us also, we have no, we don't live under the communists. We hope and pray that that the government should not prohibit the bris milah, this freedom of religion. But we have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch, we should continue to have that freedom to observe all of the mitzvahs. So the minig was for many generations that they would light a candle on the table in the middle of the Beis Medrash, in the middle of the shul, even though by us there's no Gzeres Hashmad, just as a zecher to the generations. I haven't seen it in many years, but I remember years ago, they still used to have that minig, to light a candle when there was going to be a bris. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The meaning is that you give the baby a name by the bris, because based on, I think the Mate Moshe has this. Mate Moshe is often quoted by the Magen Avraham. I think it was the Talmud of the Marshal, if I'm not mistaken. He has all the dinim and minhagim. So the Mate Moshe says, because Avraham Avinu's name was changed from Avraham to Abraham by his bris, so that's why we give the baby a name by the bris. So the Pischei Tshuva in Reish Samaches of Katan Zayin quotes those who had an idea, Chumrah, that when you give the baby a name, you shouldn't give a name from before the days of Avraham Avinu. You shouldn't give the baby a name Noach. it's a common practice that you do give a name Noach. A lot of famous tzaddikim, a name Noach, or other names from Kodim Avraham Avinu. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes that it's not really correct. Who you have Yefes, Shem Chom Yefes, Rabbi Yamin Berev Yefes was one of the Amoraim. So his father was Jewish and his father had a name Yefes. A lot of people had like that. So that we don't really follow that practice. The question whether you recite Shachyana when you have a bris, the last Gemara in Psochim, the very last line in the Gemara in Psochim says by a pidyon aben, you say Shachyana. But what about by bris? So the Rambam writes that by every bris you say Shachyana, and most of the Rishonim disagree. So in Eretz Yisrael somehow the meaning developed like the Rambam, so they say Shachyana. In the rest of the world, the meaning is not like the Rambam, that you don't say Shachyana by a bris. There is a minig based on the Zohar. Zohar is on the Pasuk in Parshas Bullock and the Nevuas Bila. Mimono Afa Yaakov. Who can count all of the offer by the Jewish people? What offer is he talking about? So the Zohar says the minig is Lahat Minas Orla Ba Offer. You have a container full of offer and the skin that you cut off from the baby, the Orla, you push it into the offer. That's a minig. Mimono Afa Yaakov. Meaning from the days of the Zohar. So the question the Gaonim discuss is, offer Eitz Mabonu, the offer is Mukta, and Shabbos Yantam Mukta is Machmas Atzmo. So how can you fulfill the Minig on Shabbos and Yantam, because you're going to be pushing, you're going to be carrying off, you're going to be moving it. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes both in Hilchas Shabbos and in Yeridei Hilchas Mila, they quote from the Gaonim, that based on the Gemaras and Shabbos, if you have something, Beitz on Shabbos, if you have something that's Muktzah, if you're Mazmin it to use it on Shabbos, so then it's Mutter to be Metaltalit. So you're Mazmin the offer. So but what do you mean? So the Ramban and the Melchamis and Maaseh Shabbos explains that there are two different types of being Mazmin. So sometimes, let's say, you have big boulders, like in front of Gluck Center. So they have big boulders that people sit on, gigantic boulders that you can't even move. So that's Eitz Mabonu Yofer, it's Mukta. Yeah, we don't move it. To touch Mukta is Mutta, only you're not allowed to touch it if it's a light thing and you can easily move it by touching it. So then there's a Chumri, you're not allowed to touch it either. But if it's a heavy thing, like a big an automobile or a boulder, you can't move it. So you're permitted to touch it as long as you don't move it. What about sitting on the boulder? Muktzah's mutter b'hanah. There's no iser. The whole iser only is not to be metalta muktzah. Well, let's say it's such a boulder that it will be shaking when you're going to sit on it, and it will shake. So if you mazman it in advance to sit on it, so the Ramban says there are two different. The Gemara tells a story. Rebbe was traveling with the Talmidim in a desert area, and they came Erev Shabbos. So he told the Talmidim they should set up the boulders in such a way that they should be able to sit on them on Shabbos, because he plans to give a shiur on Shabbos, and they're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. So if you move the boulders in such a way that you prepare them as a kli, as a chair to sit on, so then it becomes a kli. So then if it's a kli, so it's not muktzah at all. But if you have offer, you want the offer to remain offer. The whole meaning is to be matman the or ha'or la ba'offer. Mimono afa yankim. So the offer remains offer, doesn't become something else. So Ramban says that's another din. But let's say money is muktza. So let's say a person has a penny loafer. There used to be openings in the front of the loafer, so you would put shtick, they would put a penny. I haven't seen it in the last 50 years, but I remember years ago, people used to do that shtick. So the money becomes a chelik of the loafer, becomes a chelik of the shoe. Or the Mishnah has Evin Shebi Kirvia. A Kirvia is a wooden bucket that you lower on a heavy rope to draw water from a well. You have an Erev, you're not carrying anything Chutz L'Rishu Sayachid, but you want to lower the wooden bucket. So wood floats on top of the water. So how will the wooden bucket go down? He's up on the second floor and he has a pulley system. He's lowering the bucket. How is the bucket going to go below the surface of the water? So they take a big stone and they tie it to the bottom of the bucket. So the Evin Shebi Kirvia blends in, just like the penny blends in to be part of the shoe. the penny loafer. So here the Evan should be Kirvia, blends in to be part of the Kirvia, that it should be able to sink down below the surface of the water. So in that case, the Evan is not Mukta. It's part of the Kli, or the penny is no longer Mukta, it's part of the shoe. But if your Mazman offer for the Bismillah, or let's say they plan to shech the chicken on Yontif, they didn't have refrigeration. So in the days of the Gemara, it was Mutta to shech the Balichayim on Yontif. Today that we have freezers and refrigerators, it's highly questionable whether you're allowed to shech on Yontif, because you can easily, it's not normal today. Even if the husband is a shechet, the practice is he doesn't shecht if his wife wants to serve fleshiks in the middle of the week. On a Thursday night, he doesn't go and shecht the chicken today. She takes the chicken out of the freezer that was probably shecht 3 years ago and was sitting in the freezer for all this time. So you're only allowed to do on Yontif what's normally done, samach l'suda, on pipashtas like that. But in the days of the Gemara, that it was very common that people would shecht on Yontif, echal nefesh. So if you shecht the chicken, if you shecht chay of the oaf, you have to do kisei hadam. You have to have mechasim be'ofer, v'chisao be'ofer. So if you have a sack full of sawdust, or if you have a sack full of offer, and you mazmin it, you plan to use it for kisei hadam, so the Ramban says that the offer still remains offer. The sawdust is still sawdust. It's still mukta. How does the Gemara says it helps, the hazmana helps? The answer is the hazmana helps. It has a heta tiltal. It doesn't convert it to become. When you put the Evan Shebi Kirvia, you put the penny into the loafer, it blends in to become part of the Kli. So it's no longer a Dvar Mukta. Now it's part of a Kli. But if you have this sawdust that you were Mazman remains Mukta, but you have a Heta Tiltal for that purpose. So those people that have the practice, the loonies in Eretz, that they throw, when they see someone driving a car in Shabbos, so they throw stones on the car. Okay, so the stones are mukta. So these mishugoyim, they're mazman the stones in advance. But the stones remain stones. Eitzman v'anayof remain stones. So it's still mukta. So for that specific purpose that they're mazman it for, they're allowed to use it. If it's mukta, they throw stones. Probably anisa deraisa, putting them bisakona by throwing stones on their car when they're driving on Shabbos. But you're not allowed, it's still mukta. It doesn't make it ois mukta. It remains a stone. The offer remains offer. And the sack of sawdust remains sawdust. Or remains offer, you're allowed to use it for that purpose that you were mazmin it for. It has a heta tiltal mukta, or for an equally important purpose, or less, or more important purpose. But if you want to handle a mukta for a less important purpose, then the Gemara says no, not allowed to. Or let's say logs are eitz ma'avon of the offer. So on Shabbos the logs are mukta. On Yontif the logs are also mukta. But if you're mazmin the logs in advance, you're allowed to throw them into the furnace in order to have a fire to keep warm, and in order to have a fire to cook food. So let's say I have logs that I was mazmin, and they're still mokze, but I have a heta tilta, so the Gemara says, you're allowed to handle the logs to throw them into the fire. What if you want to use the log for another hishtamshes, which is less important than throwing into the fire? Then the Gemara says, you're not allowed to. You're allowed to use it for an equally important hishtamshes, or more important, or less important hishtamshes, you're not allowed to. So that's all discussed in Shulchan Aruch, these two dinim of Hachone. Yeah, we have a din in the Gemara that if a Jewish woman has married to a non-Jewish man to have a child, so Akam Haba Abbas Yisrael, the Vlad is kosher. So we assume a Vlad is kosher means that the child is Jewish and is kosher. There is a Maharsha in Kiddushin who shows that there's a Shitas Taisvis, there's a minority opinion. And Taisvis, the Vlad Kashim is the child is not a mamzer because he's not Jewish. In order to be Jewish, you have to have, both parents have to be Jewish, the father and the mother. So if the mother is Jewish, the father is a goy, the baby is a goy, and he needs geiris. So according to the way we usually assume, if the mother is Jewish and the father is an ochri, the baby is Jewish, there's a dina mila bismana, the mila is decha Shabbos. We discussed last week a machlokes, the Geonim quoted by the Mechaber of the opinion that bris milah is decha Shabbos because the bris is the beginning of the religious education of the child. And if the parents are not observant at all, and it looks like the child is not going to be brought up with a religious guidance at all, then the bris is not decha Shabbos. And we don't follow that Mechaber is from the Geonim. We follow the Shach. Shach says, what are you talking about? The mitzvah milah is decha Shabbos, not because not that milah is the beginning of the religious education of the child, is because of the mitzvah milah. So over here, let's say, if you hold the mitzvah milah is the chashamis. So if you hold akam ababa, so avlad kosher, the child is Jewish, and he's not a mamzer, he's Jewish, then it's milah bizman is the chashamis. So Rabbi Kivege quotes on the side of the page in every day, he quotes this opinion from Achrenim, that you should be choshish for this Maharsha's interpretation and taste. There is such an opinion that if the mother is Jewish, the father is a goy, the child is a goy, and the mila is really a mila shel gerus. The mila shel gerus is not a mila bizmana. It doesn't have to be done dafka on the eighth day. But then it's not derech Hashabbos. Abchai Moser has in the printed tshuva, Zachiezer, he says he has a tradition from Dovid Karlina. Dovid Karlina was a Rabbi Chaim Moser made once a comment in the middle of the Second World War. He made a comment to Rabbi Dovid Soloveitchik that Rabbi Dovid Karlina was the greatest Goyan that he ever knew from all the Gdolim that he knew. They were reminiscing about, they realized Hitler's going to kill everybody, going to kill all the tzaddikim. No one's going to be left. So they were reminiscing about the various Gdolim that they knew. Rabbi Dovid Karlina wrote Piske Halachas of a few volumes on the Rambam, Hilchas Ishus. He was a Goyan HaGoyanim. So Rabbi Chaim Moser had tremendous respect for Rabbi Dovid Karlina. So he quotes in his name that we don't follow Rabbi Kivege. Rabbi Soloveitchik also was upset. Chacham Avadya recommends you should be choshish for this. Hakma Bovas Yisrael, that the mila should be l'shem geirus, and therefore it's not derech Hashemes. Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset. He said, we don't follow that opinion at all. He said, not accepted. We assume that if the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish, and that's all. A machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The din is that one who doesn't observe the mitzvah milah is chayv koris. And when is he chayv koris? So the Rambam's opinion is if he dies and he never fulfilled the mitzvah milah, then he's chayv koris. But just because he's by mitzvah and he postpones, he's 14 years old, 15 years old, 16, he postpones till he's 25 years old, then he finally gets around to do the bris milah. So the Rambam says he's not chayv koris. And the Ravid says no, he's chayv koris for postponing. It's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos also in Makkos, but it's more famous from the Rambam and the Ravid. The Gemara says the bris milah, you have to cut off so much of the or ha'orla that's chayfe roiv ha'atorah. So that's a big Machlokes that Beis Yosef quotes. What's the definition of atorah? Torah is a crown. So let's say on a crown, there are different kinds of crown. There's one crown that goes around and around in a circle around the whole head. Then there's another crown that's a semicircle that goes on top of the head, from on top of the ear to on top of the ear. So what is the atorah over here? So we usually assume atorah means the eva hazachrus, the whole tip, the whole last three quarters of an inch. The whole thing is called the atorah. So basa chayfas reif atorah means that the skin, the or ha'orla, if 60% of it is megula and 40% is mechusa, so meikar adin, the mila is good. L'chatchila, we say we should do noyim mitzvah. You should cut off even the tzitz and shemak when it's amila. That's the Gemara in Perek Ablezer, the mila. But meikar adin, if 60% of the whole atar is megula, is good. Then the Beis Yosef quotes Motzasi Kosu, if he found a ksaviyat, he doesn't identify who it is. We don't know who, but it's from the days of the early Achrenim or late Rishonim, however you'll call it, that Ator means the Chut HaMakif. It doesn't mean the whole tip of the Eber. It means after the tip of the Eber is finished, then there's an indentation, and the Or HaOrla comes from below that. So that Chut HaMakif, that's called the Atorah. That's called the Atorah. So a lot of times if you have 70% of the tip of the Eber is Megula, but the entire Chut HaMakif is Mechusa. So according to that Shita, the person is Mamish and Oral, he didn't even begin to cut anything off. So there's a sefer on the Rambam that's called Yad HaKtana, a fat sefer. Every so often the Pischei Tshuva will quote it. It's written anonymously. It doesn't have the name of the author, but it's a very lumdy. He has a lot to say in Halacha and a lot to say in Hashkofa. I think most of the people who read it for the Hashkofa that he has. But the Pischei Tshuva quotes it for Halacha. So he thinks that the Iker is like that Chacham Ashkenazi, the Ksav Yad Ashkenazi that the Beis Yosef quoted, that the Torah is a Chut HaMakif, and then he has another Chumrah. The Shulchan Aruch discusses, when do you decide whether the Torah is Mechusa or it's Megula? How do you decide? When the Aver is in a limp form, or when the Eiver is Bikisha Eiver, when it's in a stiff form, when it's in a form of an erection. So if it's going to be Bikisha Eiver, then the Eiver is going to be longer, and then the Or HaOrla will cover up less. So a lot of times there'll be a little bit of skin left, enough to cover when the Eiver is not Bikisha. So when the Eiver is not Bikisha Eiver, then there's enough skin to cover the whole Chutam Akif. So there's no Mila at all. But if the Eiver would be Bikisha Eiver, then that skin is not enough to cover any of the Chutam Akif. So the Yad HaKtana is machmer on both. He has pages and pages on this in tiny letters. In Hilchas Mil, he goes on the Rambam. He thinks you go to Chumri, you don't, the Shulchan Aruch says you judge it when there's Kishu Yevi. So he thinks we shouldn't follow that. And then he says, number two, he thinks that we should follow the Chutam Akif. So it comes out a Chumri on top of a Chumri. That's quite a problem. The Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshev Dover that they did a bris mila, and then they realized the next day the Moel comes back to check. It turns out that he didn't do a priya at all. He thought that he did a priya yesterday. The Or HaPriya is completely there. He didn't do a priya. So he asked, so the mom, she wasn't yotze. The Mishnah says, Molvala parakilala mol. That's we mentioned. That Mishnah appears twice in the same parak in Mishnah. Tesis Yonta points it out. It never happens anywhere else. Once in a long while, you have the same Mishnah repeated in two Masechtos, but the same Mishnah twice in the same Perek. That's once in the history of the world. Moval Aparke Lamol is twice in the same Perek. So you have to say a bracha. So that in Tzivis Mesupik, what bracha do you say? Do you say Shekshatam Sanu Al HaPriya? Or do you say Al HaMila? What's the nature of this Halacha Moshe Mesina? Tosis in Nivamas and Perek Ha'aril raises the question we mentioned. What do you mean? From the days of Avram Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, he only did Mila. And only Yeshua ben Nun came along, he said, you're not Yotze with Mila alone, you have to do Priya. How can any Navi, a Navi shall achadish dove meyata, the Gemara has on the first daf in Megillah, that Besam and Aleph. The Gemara is quoting either the concluding pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, Eila HaMitzvah HaChuka Mishpata Moshatshiva Hashem is Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi who tells us Dinim L'Doris. How can Yeshua ben Nun come along and say what Moshe Rabbeinu said is wrong? So Taisa says it must be, they reconstruct, must be that Moshe Rabbeinu said that a Navi will come along and I tell you that the time has come that you have to, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the time will come that you have to change the nature of the mitzvah. So it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Rab Soloveitchik pointed out that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik has in his Seif on the Rambam talking about Orla B'chutz Lords is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, that there are two types of Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Sometimes the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai tells you a new din, Halacha HaMechadesh is a new din, in addition to Orla and Eretz Yisrael that says in the Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim, Kisavayal Ha'aretz in the Taitim Kolaitz Meichel, there's a din of Orla B'chutz Lords. And sometimes the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai reinterprets Pshat in the Pasuk. Kisavoy al ha'aretz doesn't mean that the mitzvah only applies the location where the mitzvah applies, namely Eretz Yisrael. It tells you this man yoga mitzvah. This mitzvah only begins after the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael. Until they enter Eretz Yisrael, even after Matan Torah, they weren't obligated to observe Orla. But when they enter Eretz Yisrael, then the din begins. So that's, so Rab Soloveitchik explained, that's the suffix of the Netziv. What's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe Mesina that you need Priya? Is it that in addition, it's Halacha HaMechadeshes, in addition to Mila, you need Priya also, so it's a different thing? So she really said, Bracha Asher, the Mila was done properly. He cut off the Or HaOrla, but he says he didn't do the Priya at all, by mistake. He comes the day after the Bris, he realized that yesterday he didn't do Priya, so then he should say, Bracha Ala Priya. Or should you say, no, the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai that was told, Moshe Rabbeinu told everybody that the day will come, that Yeshua is going to come along and say, now is the time to do Priya. It's a Halacha HaMefareshes, that from now on, Pshat in the Pasuk is that you do Mila. Mila means to be Megala the Ator, it should be Megula. So, Mikan V'Yelach, you have to cut off both the Or HaOrla and the Or HaPriya. Movala parakila loy mol, not considered he didn't do pre, he didn't even do the mila. Then you should say the bracha ala mila. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that was the nekudas hasofek of the tshuva in the Netziv. If the Moel realizes that he didn't do the Priya, does he say Bracha ala Priya? Does he say Bracha ala Mila? What's the nature of this Avocha L'Moshe M'Sina? Let me close with this. We almost finished everything there. Let me close with this. The Reb Shlomo Eger also has the quotes from the Shar HaMelech. Shar HaMelech is one of the early Achreinim, Sfardish Gedolim, on the Rambam. So the Shar HaMelech has a suffix, is an Evet Kenayim Mechuyiv Milas Bino. Because in today's Sedra it says, Shvulachem Poim Achamor, in the Parsha Sakeda. The Gemara understands, Amadem Alachamor, that there's no Evet Ein Lo Yachas. Evet doesn't have any Yichas. So Evet doesn't have any Yichas means no Yichas at all. The two, that's what the Minchas Chinuch explains. Rav Soloveitchik picked this up from the Minchas Chinuch. The two Chaloshemes of Kurva. There's a Chaloshem Kurva of Mishpacha, and that's only Mishpacha Sav Kriya Mishpacha. Mishpacha Sem Ein Kriya Mishpacha. For Yerusha purposes, it all depends on Mishpacha. But then there's another Kurva of Sher Basar. Arayas depend on Sher Basar. So when you say Eved Ein Lo Yachas, means the Eved doesn't have Yachas of Mishpacha, or it means it doesn't even have yachas of Sher Basa either. Let's say Eved, the Gemara has Eved Muta Bita Umuta Bachosa, and Eved is allowed to marry his sister. That's what it means. He was born an Eved and the sister was born a Shivcha. There isn't even Kurva of Sher Basa. That's how Rashi seems to learn. And the Minchas Chinuch points out the Rambam doesn't seem to learn like that. The Rambam learns that there was a brother and a sister who were both Nochrim, and they both converted l'shem shivcha k'nainis and l'shem ebed k'naini. So then you say gershon izgar k'kotin shenola domi. But usually by gershon izgar there's a gzerim of the rabbanon that is not allowed to marry his sister for various reasons. So by the Eved, since he only has a partial kedusha yisrael, the Rambam says v'chal yisrael adayin lo higia, he doesn't have a full din yisrael. So they never introduced a gzer of the rabbanon. But it could be the Eved doesn't have kurva of mishpach, but it does have kurva of shebasa. So that's a suffix in the Shah Melech. Can you say that the Eved is Mechuyev and Milas Bino? Does he have any yachas with the son at all? Maybe he has neither Sher Basa nor Mishpacha, so Apidin is not considered. Biologically, it's clearly his son. Spitting image of the father looks exactly the same as the father. But it could be that it's not called Bino Apidin. So that's interesting suffix. We left out a couple of major things. Okay, everyone should be healthy. Tomorrow morning, Bli Neder, I'll give the shiur on the Parsha, whoever is interested in listening to 10:30. And on Sunday, we'll start the second Perek, Perek Kol Shor.
May I please ask a question?
Sure.
If the Bruch of Asher Kiddush Yidid Mibetan is not Al HaKos, it's just a Minhag, so you don't have Heimom rule, so why isn't it Taka Sofek, Hefsek?
That is the minig, yeah. I don't know. Same thing, Birchas Erisin. Birchas Erisin, Midina de Gemara, doesn't need a kos. But the minig is that we do say ala kos. We gave it the chashivas of ala kos. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But we assume it's not a hefsek. It's a good question. Why not? Don't know.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Should all be healthy.